Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
Nick, it's why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 88. Jeff Lowe, Ken Jack, Trill Ballins. It's Sunday, October 7th or something like that. And, yeah. That's what we got there. 88 episodes. We're closing in on the big hundo, the big 100.
The Marvin Harrison. Said his name.
Oh, yeah.
Colts. Hey. I've been wearing the same pair of Colts athletic shorts this entire weekend. I don't think that's unusual, but I don't think I've removed my athletic shorts from Friday after work until I'm still wearing them. Still wearing them.
Our teams won today, Jeff, by the way.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's true.
Mine didn't. Lose today.
They didn't lose today.
Nope. They lost on Thursday.
Actually, Ken Jack and I, our teams square off next weekend in Cleveland.
Can I just say this? Because I know we have a large Boston audience. The Patriots have just broken my soul so many times. Like, there are a lot of Colts fans who still actively hate the Patriots. And I'm at the point where I'm like, how can you hate them? They're like, well, this is a rivalry. And it's really not a rivalry. There's maybe the 2006 AFC Championship and a few like semi meaningful games after that. But other than that, we just get our butts kicked by the Patriots every time.
Everyone in the AFC West, dude, this is our fucking struggle. And I think the only year we even had a chance is the year that, like, I think 2008 when Philip Rivers, like, tore his ACL. Gates didn't play. LT didn't play. Like, it was miserable.
Billy Volek? Was that the Billy Volek year?
No, Billy Volek. It was the Billy Volek year, but that was when Billy Volek led the comeback win against the Colts, the game before that. And then this game against the Patriots was after that.
Yeah, when that – was it Nick Seifries, the punter? Seifries completely destroyed the Colts by punting good.
Yeah, and then Billy Volek, goal line rush right up the gut.
Yeah, so to summarize, the Patriots have completely broken my spirit. Just every time the Colts play the Patriots, I assume it's an automatic loss. And not just a loss, just a boring game to watch from a Colts fan's perspective.
Yeah, that's true. Same with the Chargers, to be honest.
Anyway, what's up with you guys?
Not much. First, we got two things off the top. One... we started watching The Slap. We released the first episode of The Slap commentary. Ken Jack and I watched it with PFT. It was, I'll be honest, I've been thinking about that second episode all weekend.
Yeah, I know. It was captivating.
It was. The moment he got slapped, we cheered like our favorite football team scored. It was fucking incredible watching him get slapped. Spoiler alert, he deserved it. He's a piece of shit. The kid sucks.
That was a real shitty kid.
Yeah, he's a shit kid.
I'm on the Slap subreddit right now, fellas.
Oh,
and
hell yeah.
I sorted by new, and the last post was 3 years ago, which I understand because it was a limited series. Like, why would anyone post on the Slap today? But here's some of the post titles. Prediction, Rosie or Gary are featured tonight. Okay, see, like, that's just not as interesting as The Blacklist.
Yeah,
I thought I was going to get some blacklist level comedy out of it, and it's just pretty tame. These Slap fans, they kept it pretty PG.
This is what I'll say about the slap is, why do we cheer when the kids in Willy Wonka die, but we like relent when this guy slaps the kid that does the same exact stuff in the slap? Like, yeah. doesn't that seem hypocritical, doesn't it?
It does. I'll tell you, if you haven't watched it yet, and I there could be a bit of a surprise on our Reddit if you want to be able to watch it with the video synced up. That's all I'm going to say. But when you watch it, you'll know right away the kid stinks. I mean, the kid fucking deserves it. And there's some other weird subplots in the show, too. Some stuff we didn't expect. So we're excited. We're going to probably watch the second episode this week, and we'll post another commentary. All right, elephant in the room. This was supposed to be the episode that we reviewed A Star Is Born. Not going to happen. I know Mr. Ballin saw it, but unfortunately, Ken Jack and I, we had
opposite what normally happens.
We had interviews that we had to do that hopefully are going to be released soon. Some mix-ups, timing stuff. It kind of sucked. And some other commitments. So we actually haven't even fucking seen the thing yet. We're seeing it Monday. We'll review it on the website on Tuesday. We'll review it next Sunday. I know it's a long wait, but Thursday we'll be reviewing the hit movie, which it is a hit movie technically, Venom.
With vroom, vroom.
Yep, and our special guest, Mr. Sunday Movies, as well as ranking our least favorite superheroes. So that'll be a fun episode. The Weekly Planets review will be up probably tonight or tomorrow morning. So,
you know what? I got to say this. You know how frustrating it is? If you go to the App Store, you can find the screener apps for the major studios. They're buried in there. Like you search Universal and search the right words, you can get like the Universal Pictures Critics app or Screeners app. Just knowing we're a username and password away from getting to watch all these movies in the comfort of our own house, and we like going to the movies. All I'm trying to say is this is a passionate plea. If you're semi-famous, somewhat famous listening to this podcast, and you know somebody in the movie industry at one of these studios, even if it's just one studio, get us screeners. We need screeners.
Also, we've also been approved for some. We just haven't started getting them yet, and that's a problem. And your boy talking right now needs to fucking follow up and stop being – that's not lazy. We just have a lot going on.
We're busy.
I'm not putting it on the good boy. Jeff's the good boy. I would never blame Jeff for anything other than not releasing the pod.
That implies that you would blame me for quite a bit, which
I wouldn't blame you. I blame the studios. I put the blame squarely in the movie studios' hands.
That's very fair.
Even though we're trying to make friends with them to get screeners, I'm still placing the blame on them.
So actually blame me instead.
We did get to go see mid-90s early. Ken Jack and I, we reviewed it online. We fucking loved it. Awesome movie. Shot really well. Trill's going to love it. It's very nostalgic for the 90s. Very.
We're trying to hack into the screener apps with like the Ringer's passwords and credentials, trying to guess what the password might be, like Larry Bird 33.
Exactly.
Happy birthday, Polly.
Oh, man. So that's that. So apologies. Apology to, hang on, let me get the name on Reddit. How do you say this one? Let's see. Lash LaRue 69. He's made
Bring back Spartan Dog 97.
Two posts ever. He posted about NFL Sunday Ticket and then made a thread saying BTMB, Big Time Movie Boys, we need an emergency pod. A Star Is Born review. I replied in the Reddit thread. I said, if you listen to the episode, you know we're reviewing it Sunday. Uh-oh, someone got caught. Joke's on us. We're not reviewing it. So the dunking on has been pulled back.
You're just holding yourself accountable, and I appreciate that.
Yeah. Look, we busy lots of – there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that will excite folks. I'll let you know that. That's all I'm going to say there. It's all I actually can say, but just keep that in mind. But let's get into some – actually, anything else before we start off here? Anything?
I went to IKEA this weekend, which was a mistake.
The one by the airport?
Yeah.
By Newark?
Yeah. How far again is it from Hoboken? Like a 25-minute Uber?
Yeah.
So I went in to IKEA to just buy some desk organizers. Most people go to IKEA to buy gigantic things. I get to the end checkout. They have like 75 lanes at IKEA and only 6 of them are open. And they can do that because by the time people get to the end, they're so exhausted and mentally broken and they're there with their big stuff that they they have no other choice than to wait in line. They've already invested all that time in it. But I didn't. I just put my things down and I walked out. And on my way out, I said, I'm going to get a hot dog at IKEA. So I got in the line at the little cafe, and that damn line was too long as well. So I walked out on two lines at IKEA.
Damn.
I'm never going back until I need something super cheap that I don't want to invest in. Then I'll go back.
What furniture store would you even go to alternatively? I think like Bob's is the only other furniture store I've ever even been to.
Yeah, in Hoboken, Navi. I just different one is in. Yeah.
Well, I normally get my furniture from curbsides, so you know, a lot of options in the greater Hoboken Craigslist. Area.
I actually got my dresser, the dresser you hate, from Craigslist.
It's a dresser that looks like it's in some haunted bed and breakfast in Rhode Island.
It's a totally normal dresser. It's a very, very standard fare fucking dresser. I don't know why you think it's like some Amish shit.
How many lotion stains are on that dresser?
I don't keep lotion on the dresser. That's always in the desk.
Speaking of picking things up on the side of the road or sales, I watched, as you guys know, Gary Vaynerchuk go to garage sales all weekend on Twitter. That was fucking exhilarating, especially after the fact that if you've seen Venom, you know that Riz Ahmed's character sounds exactly like him. Exactly. I don't even know if I paid attention to the whole movie. Kendrick knows I kept turning over and being like, who does that sound like? I was like, oh, it's Gary V.
That's the self-help guy, right? Like the motivational dude.
Yeah, he's like the less shitty version of Tony Robbins.
Or Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Okay. And he just posts videos of himself buying stuff. Shit. That's cool.
Yeah. Speaking of Elon Musk, you know what I didn't see last night during that fight, all that chaos? Nobody properly used the Elon Musk Joe Rogan interview weed shot during that fight, which means obviously Joe Rogan was announcing. Nobody's able to figure that one out. That's rare for the internet.
Well, the one fighter, Black Beast or whatever, he mentioned it to him in his post-fight interview. He said, like, anytime you want me to come on and smoke weed with you, I'm there.
All right, welcome. We got dickwallet.com. Motherfuckers. Jamie, get that up. I love Dick Wallet. It's the only wallet that securely fastens to your penis.
Oh, man. All right, let's get into news. After news, we're going to have an interview with Brecken Meyer. Ken Jack and I talked to Brecken Meyer for about 15, 20 minutes. You know him from many things. Rat Race. You know him from Road Trip. And most importantly, you know him as John Arbuckle in the live-action Garfield movies. Yeah. And you better believe we talked to him about it. And you better believe Ken Jack showed him fucked-up Garfield memes.
Sure did.
Which he definitely had never seen before, ever.
That was funny. Out of all the interviews he's done, I'm surprised no one has ever brought up to him Garfield memes before.
Yeah. It was good. So we'll have that interview here in a little bit. Let's first get to some news. It was New York Comic Con this weekend, which is the off-brand who gives a shit San Diego Comic Con. But there are some things that kind of come out now and then around here. One was an extended Aquaman trailer, a five-minute Aquaman trailer from James Wan, which showed a heck of a lot of stuff. Especially Aquaman in his final form suit, the suit that everyone knows, the orange and green thing, which is a little disappointing because I kind of wanted to wait for the movie to see that. But I actually thought this was a pretty good trailer. You guys agree, disagree on that? I liked it. I'm looking forward to Aquaman a little bit here, more so than I was for Venom.
I just got to say this. I'm sorry. I'll get to my Aquaman thoughts. Watching the game on mute. There's a Samsung ad. You know who's in the Samsung ad? You've probably seen it already.
Ninja.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's wow. Good for him, man. He got that Samsung money now. That's cool.
Korean bag, dude.
Anyway, I'm just amazed. I'm really impressed by what he's been able to do. Aquaman, getting back to that.
Hold on. Actually, no, I have to strafe off again. There was a commercial before the game started for Subway, and it involved Ronald McDonald sitting in a hammock eating Subway. I don't know how I feel about that.
Do you think you could get in and out of a hammock with clown shoes? Like, probably I get my feet twisted in hammocks all the time. I couldn't imagine getting those big size 23 Shaquille O'Neal.
To be fair, any shoe you wear is clown shoes.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I get my shoes from the Nordstrom Rack baby section. Me and my daughter share shoes.
All right, no, Venom, continue. Sorry for interrupting.
Venom or Aquaman?
Aquaman.
Yes. Aquaman looks cool. I mean, it looks cool. There's nothing real bad to say about it, right? I mean, it's something that I don't think I have very high expectations for. Maybe that's unfair, just mostly because it's a DC movie, but also because it's Aquaman. But it is kind of cool that they've made Aquaman somewhat of a badass. I didn't think it'd be possible.
Yeah, definitely a badass.
Yeah, I like that. It's not like a Norwegian looking white dude, and it's like an actual badass looking dude like Jason Momoa. I like the trailer. It's the same amount. I don't think it changed at all since the first trailer, but I think it looks cool. It's just a big CGI fuckfest that knows what it is, hopefully, and doesn't try to get too deep. It's just a nice formulaic plot to start and jumpstart this DC universe that hopefully bleeds into Shazam being hopefully again watchable. So I liked it. I'm a fan.
Yep. No, I thought it was enjoyable.
What's that dude's with the big helmet? What's his name?
The big Black Manta, baby.
That looks pretty. I mean, we saw it in the first trailer, but it doesn't look bad. It's a pretty good representation of the character on the CGI front, right?
I would say so.
Who plays the villain again? What's his name?
Our boy Patrick Wilson.
Yeah, he looks a little weird. His hair looks CGI'd in the movie. Like, he didn't want to grow the weird yellow mullet ponytail thing.
Yeah, but Samurai is that Samurai topknot, baby.
Yeah, it looks – and I also heard – I was listening – it was our buddy James coming on this week. He mentioned that there was an interview where they said they would have – or James Wan said that when the characters go from in the water to out of the water, they would, like, spit up water, like, because they're talking underwater and water is in them, which is, like, kind of weird, but, like, it's kind of a – funny or cool attention to detail, like they gotta spit some water out as they come out of the water. But they're gonna eliminate that nonsense from Justice League where they have to have those bubbles around them in order to talk underwater.
That was silly.
God. That was so fucking stupid. just let them talk, man. All right, so Aquaman, that comes out in December. Pretty excited. I think a lot of people liked the trailer too. There was a lot of positive reaction when we tweeted it out.
So, did they do that same waterfall introduction they did at San Diego, or is this too small to do the same theatrics?
Javits Center.
Javits Center.
The Javits Comic-Con? Center.
Yeah, baby, yeah. It's Javits Center.
Aquaman. Jason Momoa broke through the glass ceiling.
The disappointment building. I didn't have anything funny to say there.
That was a good one. You nailed it.
Whatever.
Jason Momoa was there because he walked around the floor with Mark Ruffalo, and Mark Ruffalo had a mask on. We will get to Mark Ruffalo in a minute because he was involved with something in the Avengers on Friday night. We'll get to that in a minute. All right, so Aquaman again. Usually when we get a positive reaction to a trailer we post, we know the tide is kind of turning on something. Like a really good barometer of how people feel about a movie, and like, it sounds like a brag about our Twitter account, but it is good is that you can see what people are generally feeling just based off the trailers we tweet. So that's the sense I got. Moving on, Venom. Much to the dismay of Lady Gaga fans, the little monsters or whatever they call themselves. Venom set Thursday night, preview October box office record. Venom going to make a ton of money this weekend. Ken Jack and I saw it on Thursday night. We got a free Venom comic. Pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
It was badass. And he's holding it up right now.
Look at that. Look at that. I don't know if you got this troll in Hoboken, but this one is way better than whatever you got, probably. Look how cool that is.
It's a real page turner.
Page turner. Is it a porno episode? Boom. We're back in.
I bought a copy of Venom from a guy in a trench coat, so I didn't get the comic.
We sat in an IMAX theater that had two doors to get out of, but for some reason, everybody walked up the side that we were on and made us get up. There was a lot of people coming in and out of our aisle, and that was...
You had to get up like 200 times. I felt so bad. I just squeezed in. I was like, you guys are the ones inconveniencing me right now, so you guys move
around. That's true. I always feel bad, but then I'm like, no, I always feel bad up until the preview start or the movie start. And I'm like, no, fuck you. I'm not getting up. Like show up before the movie starts. It's very easy.
Yeah, unless it's old, I won't move.
What are your flash reactions? Did you guys post your review last week?
Sure did.
We did.
So without going too much into it, like, what'd you guys think?
It was better than critics were saying. However, still not amazing. There were very, very obvious problems with the movie. This is not one of those things where you're like, ah, a little bit here, a little bit there. Like, there was like one or two things that you're like, wow, that's why this is not a great movie. And we'll get like into Venom? It first.
Like Venom itself?
No, I actually liked how Venom looked a lot.
Okay. No, Venom was great. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was just, it mostly has to do, in my opinion, I don't know about you, Kenji, with the story. There's a couple of things they did with the story and the way the movie flows and is edited that's just like, what?
That was my number one complaint, and we'll get into it more later, but it's just the editing was super shitty, but way better than everyone said it was, which was like, oh, this is absolutely unwatchable. Catwoman level mess. You have to avoid it. And it absolutely is not that. It's a fun action flick. It's good. It's a solid comic book movie. I wouldn't put it in the bottom tier of comic book movies, but I would put it maybe in like that mid tier. Don't know exactly what that would be. It would be associated with, but I liked it.
It, I will say, I think that we liked it probably the least amount in our theater though, because there were some real big Venom stands there.
Oh yeah.
Some applause, some cheer. Yeah. There was, we definitely weren't the big Venom fans in the theater, but we liked it. We didn't give it a good score by any means, but we liked it way better than the critic. The critics thought it was terrible. It's not that bad.
Was the Eminem song at the credits?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Oh yeah. And it sounds just because like a good credit song can really get you hyped up at the end and tie it all in for you. Man, that's a big letdown. That song stinks. That song is terrible. Final trailer for Overlord from Bad Robot and J.J. Abrams, the Nazi World War II movie, which is like apparently 100% not going to be a Cloverfield movie. What do we think about the Overlord trailer?
I think this looks pretty good. I think that was my first reaction to the first trailer. I don't think I'm changing there. I know I rant and rave about zombie movies all the time, but there's enough of a twist on this one that it's like a hook that gets me interested into it. So I don't know if it changed my mind much either way. I'm still somewhat excited for it. Not super excited for it, but somewhat excited. I'm mildly, lightly buttering.
I think the trailer didn't excite me any more than the previous one, but I will say that the reviews so far to whatever debuted like Fright Fest or something, the reviews do have me buttering it a lot more because people are saying that it's great. It's a solid action horror movie. And that is what has me more excited than anything else.
Yeah. It was an interesting trailer too. Kind of gave I felt like a bit of a different look. Now, granted, I hadn't seen the other trailer in a long time, but I liked what I saw, and it's, looks like it's going to be something different. And I know, Trill, you've gone on the zombie thing before, and it's, for the most part, very much spot on. But it's one of those wait-and-see things. I think, again, it's J.J. Abrams. For the most part, he doesn't make bad movies. So looking forward to Overlord a little bit. Moving on to Marvel, the real Marvel, not this in association with Marvel shit or whatever that Sony tries to put out there. Captain America, Chris Evans, had a very heartfelt farewell on Twitter or Instagram. I forget where it was, where he basically celebrated and thanked everyone on his last day with Avengers 4. Officially wrapped on Avengers 4. It was an emotional day, to say the least. Playing this role over the last 8 years has been an honor. To everyone in front of the camera, behind the camera, and in the audience, thank you for the memories. Eternally grateful. Now, we did know like 4 or 5 years ago that he was done with this after Avengers 4. Maybe 3 or 4. That might have been too much. But regardless, it was a while ago we knew he'd be done after Avengers 4. However, I think just like it sank in a little bit more now, knowing that we have just the original Avengers, quote unquote, alive for Avengers 4, and that they will most likely almost all die to an extent. And if he's done with this, you have to think Captain America's going to be like, he's not going to fucking retire. Like, was he going to retire and just hang out?
He's an old.
Walk around. Yeah.
Cashing those social security checks.
He's going to go to Hawkeye's house, chill on that Ninja Turtle farm.
He's not going to just walk around though, like walk around the street. Maybe he could go off on a farm, but he just seems like he's going to die. Do we think this is like the final nail in the coffin? This guy's dying in the movie, right?
Oh, for sure.
Tony Stark too.
Yes. Yeah, I think Stark is for sure going to die.
Yeah.
I think
they're gone.
That's without question. So here's what lends a little extra to that is on Friday night, I had to watch Late Night with Jimmy Fallon or the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. That's tough.
Hey guys,
it's my brief, Jimmy Fallon
briefcase full of jelly beans opens up.
Hey, you guys want to play beer pong, right? Hey, beer pong, this is funny, right? Celebrities playing beer pong.
Hi Jimmy, how are you? Jimmy. Ha ha ha! Oh my god, you're too much.
Here, the band's good though. The band's good.
Let's play. Yeah, the Roots are great. Let's play. Spin the wheel of musical impersonations for the three that I can do. Barry Gibb.
or how they? I, the thing that frustrates me is they play it off like they're just coming up with it on the spot.
Yeah.
Hey, don't. I'm smarter than that, Jimmy. Don't do that to me.
Yeah. Fuck you. The king is James Corden. We all know that. Which there was a really. Did I send it to the group? Yeah, there was a. The Late Late Show or whatever tweeted out a thing about NFL kickers. They're like, all right, if any NFL team wants a. Needs a kicker, just remember James is available. And it's like hashtag let Corden kick. What the fuck is that?
Folks, Green Bay has to be looking at him.
Like, what? Where did that come from? Let Corden kick. So Mark Ruffalo was on. There was a tease all day long. The Russo brothers were like, you're fired to Ruffalo because he had tweeted, oh, like I had an Avengers spoiler. Please cut it from the show. Then I won't name the person, but a Marvel insider said it was going to be Avengers Annihilation or The Last Avenger. He said they're going to reveal it tonight. Blah, blah, blah. Long story short, he said the title and they got bleeped out. So everyone had been duped. Bamboozled. Well, some fucking genius on the internet was able to use like audio editing with Adobe Audition to remove the bleep. And you can clearly hear Mark Ruffalo say The Last Avenger. Now, and when I first thought of that, I'm like, really? Avengers, The Last Avenger? I think the movie is just going to be called The Last Avenger, which is significant to what we were talking about with Chris Evans, because his first movie was obviously Captain America, The First Avenger. This could now be The Last Avenger. Maybe the Avengers are going to be, it's a different, you know, setup with them after this movie. The Avengers are no more. They're different. So he could be The Last Avenger, which would be fucking, that's a cool title. I like that. Avengers Annihilation is pretty neat, but like, you know, they're going to succeed in the end. So like I like the movie just being called The Last Avenger. It's kind of badass.
What about Infinity War : The Last Avenger?
Or Avengers 4: The Last Avenger?
What about Avengers 4: The Last Avenger and Where to Find Them?
Oh, yes, with Iron Man and Newt Scamander.
Well, if you play Spider-Man on PS4, you know where to find them because you can go to the Avengers Tower.
Yeah, you can.
Avengers for Ethics and Gaming Journalism.
Do you know what I find not funny is when people make a joke about a sequel and then they say Electric Boogaloo.
Yep. Fucking like, hell yeah.
I don't find it like I hate you levels of annoying, but it's like a 2007 Epic Bacon meme joke.
Epic Bacon.
And somebody did that in a fantasy football call, and the fantasy writer I respect greatly. He used it. He wrote Crocodile Dundee 4.
Was it Rich Eisen?
No, it's Matt Berry.
Oh,
I like Matt. Should've Berry. Guessed that. Matt Berry's like on my top tier of most likable personalities on major sports media networks. So no hate to Matt Berry, but the joke just looking. It just sticks out whenever I see it. But yeah, but I'm disarming looking. So I relate to him.
My favorite NFL media member is Jason LaCanfora.
Oh, that guy is the fucking
fight my boy. My favorite media member is Ian Rappaport. And he came out with those tweets that was like, you know, you better shut your mouth before I knock it off your face or something like that. Like they're still up on Twitter.
I think my favorite is Andrew Siliano or whatever, the guy from NFL Network with the giant ears. Siliano.
Yeah.
I love that guy. Like, unironically, I love him.
He does the DirecTV Red Zone.
Yes, exactly.
So I just actually learned this the last month, that they have two red zones. I never knew that before.
Yeah, dude. It's crazy. Like in a football field, there's two sides of it. Where else are you going to go?
Why do they have two red zones? Is this a licensing issue?
There's one side of the football field and another side of the football field. Where could there possibly be a third red zone?
Yeah, that's the NFL's next move. I'm just going to elaborate on your joke because I think it's a funny visual. But what if they're just real literal and they could only cover one side of the football field in like one specific red zone and you have to turn to the other red zone?
They're like, damn, folks, we really wish we could show you this play, but unfortunately the quarter changed. So
it's in the south red zone now.
Sorry.
Oh, man.
Oh, folks.
A little rant about NFL reporters.
Oh, folks.
By the way, congrats to our guy Darren Revelle on finishing the Chicago Marathon today. 6 minutes under his goal time. He had some interesting Nike equipment on. I got to ask him about that.
Recurring 7 guess. Hours and 32 minutes.
Oh, man.
Folks, I don't want to say Darren Revelle ran the marathon slow, but when he finished, the clocks adjusted for daylight savings time.
I
love that guy. I, you know, when people usually become self-aware, you like him less. But when he became self-aware, I liked him more.
Oh, for sure. He's a good dude. He's supposed to come on and sing Cats, though. He needs to do that. He's supposed to come on our show and Pardon My Take. I'm gonna have to press him on that soon.
He's got pipes.
He's not going to do it. He's not going to come on our show again.
I wouldn't doubt him.
Mom, I'm doubting him. This is a challenge.
I might buy an ad in the Revelle Daily Times for him to come on. We'll see. Moving on to Mortal Engines. What?
Can he take us to a Northwestern game? I'd love to go to a Northwestern game with Revelle and see what kind of – like he has to have like red carpet treatment at Northwestern University as their most famous journalism alumni, right?
They do fucking love him. I'm not sure he's the most famous. I think the most famous alum is Seth Meyers.
No, he's the most famous journalism alumni. I don't even have to look at the list of Medill journalism graduates. I just know it's Darren Revelle.
Northwestern had a lot of famous alums, the more I'm looking at it. Meghan Markle went to Northwestern, Colbert, David Schwimmer, mm-hmm. Zach Braff, Warren Beatty, Cloris Leachman.
Wait, Warren Beatty?
Warren Beatoff.
Warren Beatty O'Rourke.
Hugh Hefner. Why are these all like... Oh, George R. R. Martin, too. Damn.
Holy shit. Northwestern might have... I don't know because I feel like Harvard might beat them, but Northwestern has to be top five best alumni. Like
Jerry Springer?
Alumni. Mike Greenberg?
We're just saying cool alumni.
Didn't Charlton Heston. Who's the other? Didn't Kornheiser go to Northwestern too?
Half the fucking ESPN people.
No. Wilbon.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wilbon talks about it a lot.
Mike Wilbon. Oh. God damn. Ann Margaret. David Schwimmer, can you imagine him as a college student? I just feel like he was born at 35. I was in the womb for 300 months.
We were on a break.
That's the only one I do. All right. I'm sorry. I derailed there.
Okay.
I think people like that, though. I think people like our tangents more than they like our actual movie talk because we're not really qualified to talk about movies.
Trill, you're a fan of Mortal Engines, the trailer, correct?
Yeah, I think it looks badass. I think this new trailer looks badass as well. Kenjack hated it.
Yeah,
I don't like it. It looks like shit.
I think it looks awesome.
What about it looks appealing to you?
I like the whole dystopian.
I'm just not going to listen to you as a siren.
Robot City steampunk vibe.
But he already said very clearly, Peter Jackson, that it is not steampunk.
It's steampunk, dude. Johnny Five Aces is going to pop out.
You ever see this? I think I've mentioned this before, but the steampunk skit from Portlandia.
I think I have.
But, it's so damn funny.
Yeah, explain it to me on the podcast. That'll be good.
Okay, so basically the way they started in a hotel. And
this movie, I think this is a big time Kenjack groan movie. Like I can see you fucking rolling your eyes from start to finish with this one.
It's steampunk shit. Like, why would I ever like that? I want cyberpunk. That's what I'm actually waiting for. Is that game looks rad as hell.
It does. That's not out yet?
I don't think so, right?
Yeah, it looks badass. No, I don't think it comes out till late next year, 2020. Yeah. It's a while. That Project Red and the Witcher series, like they're maybe the best game developer pound for pound.
Is it? Oh, that's the same guys? I didn't even know that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Project Red CD or whatever it is. Kind of to tie this into movies, right? Because Cavill is playing the Witcher, Geralt. Mm-hmm. The creator of The Witcher is taking the Project Red CD guys to court because he feels he sold the rights too cheaply to them, I think.
Well, I don't think you could take someone to court for buyer's remorse.
Well, exactly. But I think he just expected somebody to turn out a shitty game and they made one of the best games of all time. Anyway, Cavill's playing Geralt, so it's very relevant to movie news.
Tough noogies. guy.
Yeah, Mortal Engines, it's whatever to me. I might lean a little more with Ken Jack than Trill, but I guess we'll just see it. Speaking of remorse, how about Creator's Remorse? Simon Kinberg, who's directing Dark Phoenix. He also directed X-Men The Last Stand or produced it? I don't know. I fucking forget. Regardless, he apologized for X-Men The Last Stand. He said, "I'm sorry for X-Men 3. We tried to tell the Dark Phoenix story and we didn't do it properly. So with this Dark Phoenix story, there is no cure plot. There is no other plot. It is the Dark Phoenix story as told in comics, as told in the cartoons. Sophie is the center of the film. That's why she's the one person that's in the teaser poster. The entire movie revolves around her. It's a movie that goes into space and is cosmic, very much inspired actually by what Taika Waititi did for Thor Ragnarok." Okay. Watch it.
Hell yeah.
Watch it, bud. Even though the tone is totally different, but just the ability to make a character.
I love that caveat. Yeah. It's basically exactly what Taika Waititi did in Thor Ragnarok, except totally different. I just want to attach his name to it so you'll want to come see it.
Didn't he also apologize for Fantastic Four?
I don't remember that.
Okay. He should apologize for that one too.
He should. Somebody should. So he's apologizing. I don't believe him. I don't believe this is only we mentioned this last week. The trailer is a fucking centered around Charles and Charles.
Man. You abandoned us, Charles.
Michael Fassbender playing Magneto. And he shows
what's
up and
his name again.
He's showing off his J brand jeans and Billy Reid shirts. It's high scale fashion he somehow wears in the mountains of Tibet.
What is whose name, Jeff?
What's Magneto's real name again?
Eric something.
Lashander, something
it's
like that.
It's definitely not that, but it's like with an L for sure.
It's kind of like
your pronunciation attempt. Oh!
No. Okay, speaking of pronunciation, somebody on the Reddit says I pronounce X-Men.
No, Bobby said that on a live while we were podcasting last week.
Oh. So how do I say it? X-Men?
You say like M-I-N. X-Men. It's true.
It does be like that, right? I do that. I also say restaurant messed up too. It's something I'm never gonna stop doing. It took me years to stop saying George Washington as George Washington. So
as George what?
Washington. Like Washington. Anything Washington, I would say Washington.
Why is that like Lola from Big Mouth? George Washington. We rub fronts.
You're the man, Steve.
You're the man, Steve.
You're the man now, dog.
What are you going to do?
God damn it. That fucking character is so funny. Oh, my God.
I don't feel like people should have to apologize for their movies. But at the same time, that trailer is a bad movie. But that trailer also very much was not completely centered around Jean Grey.
No, it was fucking Eric and Charles arguing like they always do. Plot to every X-Men movie.
Going back to Ken Jack's The Juggernaut sketch. I just wish it had worked that into one of these movies. I'm so pissed they didn't do that in Deadpool.
Wait, which one?
When the Juggernaut, I'm the Juggernaut, bitch.
They did do it in X-3.
They did?
Yeah, in X-Men 3. He literally says it out loud to Kitty Pride. He says, he's chasing after her, and she's like, she throws something at him, and he's like, "Do you know who I am? I'm the Juggernaut, bitch." And then he like just runs through a wall. And it's Vinnie Jones, I think, who plays Juggernaut in that movie.
It's good. Terrible.
I think that maybe out of all the times I've been owned on this podcast, this is probably the most embarrassing.
What? Because you didn't know me. Juggernaut said, "I'm the Juggernaut, bitch."
Yeah, because I'm that's one of my favorite early memes, and I should be more attuned to meme culture in mainstream pop culture than that. Should have recognized that.
Did you just not watch X3?
No, I watched X3, but it was 2006, right? I can't remember what happened back then.
I mean, good for you if you didn't watch it. You didn't miss anything.
Oh, come on. When Magneto lifts the entire Golden Gate Bridge like and moves it, that was badass as hell.
There are parts that were cool.
I think
it was. I wasn't going to miss The Last Stand, dude. The movie said it was The Last Stand.
Was it that one?
Like, shit, you got to see this.
Where Wolverine fights the guy who throws like bone spikes out of his hand or something?
I think so.
That whole fucking, that was a weird mutant. But there was a lot of weird. There's the one that, like, his hands kept growing back as Wolverine was chopping him off, and Wolverine just, like, punches him in the balls. And he's like, yeah, grow those back.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
What a fucking movie.
Jesus. All right, so that's X-Men, Dark Phoenix, and Last Stand shit. Moving on, speaking of Taika Waititi, he is one of three people to be announced as directors. This is TV, but it's Star Wars, of the Star Wars live-action show The Mandalorian, which is going to be about Mandalorians, which is what Boba Fett looks like, though he's not a Mandalorian. There's a whole fucking backstory we won't get into. But Taika Waititi, Bryce Dallas Howard, and Dave Filoni with, what's his name? As the producer, writer, creator.
John Favreau?
John Favreau, right. The former speechwriter for Obama. he's still overseeing this all. But the three of them, Dave Filoni, he did Rebels, Star Wars Rebels. He did Star Wars Clone Wars. Bryce Dallas Howard, you know who she is, obviously, from the most recently, the Jurassic series. She was in that TV show that I didn't watch where all the weird shit happens.
The Slap.
I'm surprised she wasn't in The Slap.
Actress that looks like her is in it. She's in Spider-Man 3, too. Well.
She's in a lot of things. And then Taika Waititi, you know, from obviously Thor Ragnarok, which we just mentioned. So pretty cool that they're all going to do that. Taika Waititi is from New Zealand, right? Yes. And Jango Fett or Boba Fett is based on a character from New Zealand. So I guess that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Morrison.
Yeah, Tamara Morrison. Yeah.
So I don't know. Aquaman.
Yes, he is. He's Aquaman's human father. Yeah. Arthur Curry's father. So pretty cool. I'm excited about this. People kind of went batshit crazy over it. It was like one picture they released. I mean, cool. I'm excited to see it. I hope it's got some. I've never been a big fan of the Marvel TV stuff, so I hope it's, for me, better than those. But I know the budget on this is basically a movie budget. So kind of looking forward to it.
How long are we going to have to wait for this again? It's 2020?
For the Disney streaming service, at least.
I don't know. I don't think it's that long. I mean, they're already filming stuff.
Oh, cool. Well, that's good. I'm excited now.
Can you
Some stuff's just too far. Yeah. Okay. Let's workshop it.
I'm trying to think. There's like Mandalorian is a combination of man and DeLorean. But is there something we can do where it's like a man, bear, pig type DeLorean, like Mandalorian thing? I don't know how to make this joke, but there's something there. I just can't put it together.
What was that TV show in the 80s that the kid turns into the car and it's that really funny gif? Because, like, his caboose just stretches out. so weird. It's like Turbo Teen is what it's called.
Oh, fuck. Are you
Turbo
sure?
Teen. Yeah, it's Turbo Teen. Well, Ken, we lost Ken Jack.
Oh, no,
we lost him real quick. Oh, I think he's back.
Is he back?
We don't want to edit this out. We got to show people what actually happened.
We'll workshop that joke and we'll come back to you on it on the main pod.
Yeah, for sure. All right, moving on. The rest of the stuff is not all that exciting. We got to get to questions anyway. First look at Hobbs and Shaw, just a picture of them looking at each other. Not exactly the most exciting thing in the world. They're just kind of staring at each other.
It's the most 2018 promo of all time. Just The Rock posting something to Instagram. Not much is to it. People go batshit or whatever.
This feels like a movie that they could make in about 3 months, right? Like, it's just them fighting, like, or being friends and fighting other people. Like, I feel like this should just be out already at this point.
They could just put them on wires in front of a green screen and film them for 8 hours, and you have 75% of this movie, which I am still very excited for.
Do it all on Instagram Live. Like, film the entire movie on that. Make that the next, like, version of searching or whatever. It's just the whole movie is filmed on Instagram or something.
Let me look at this promo pic again. Let me pull this up, because I saw it.
I'm glad the camera only looks at your chest up, nothing else. Why are you looking at Rock
picks? Oh, so the Rock's like, the Rock's like very bent over a table, and Jason Statham's kind of bent over a table, because one of the things that they do quite often when the Rock is on screen with Vin Diesel is not as tall as the Rock. I think they try to make them look very similar in height, and Jason Statham, I don't know what his height is, but actors usually aren't much taller than 6 feet unless you're Joel McHale. So I wonder if they'll try to – I mean, have they done that before? I don't know. I'm going to look up Jason Statham height. Maybe he is like 6'2".
Statham's not tall at all. No, Jason Statham is tall.
I like all the like weird Google suggestions 5'10". You get when
that's all right. Well, your height.
You're 5'11". You're big.
Fucking beta.
I'm lucky I never had to date in the new app economy because I would have had to post in my bio. I was like under 6 feet.
Well, I still have to do that, so it's not good. Mm-hmm.
Jason Statham. So it's like whenever you input a celebrity's name, you always get like the searches like Jason Statham wife, Jason Statham height. Just like people are just like wanting to know the important details about somebody, right?
All right, two more news items, and we'll get into our interview with Brecken Meyer, and then we'll answer those couple questions. Clint Eastwood's trailer for his new movie, The Mule. I mean, that just sounds uninteresting to begin with, right? What do we think about the Mule?
Baller cast. Can't take that away from it.
It is. It is a good cast. It is. This trailer came out last week. His last movie was the 18 to Paris or 17 to Paris. Tessa Farmiga, Bradley Cooper, Allison Eastwood, Michael Pena, Lawrence Fishburne. So the cast is pretty good. Obviously, Clint is in it too. First name basis, Clint. The empty chair is in the movie. It's just Clint Eastwood. It's just Clint Eastwood. I don't know what to say. The trailer looks fine. But I'm a little out on Clint Eastwood right now, just based off of the that shit movie that came out, the 15-17 or 15-18 to Paris.
That stunk so bad.
It was an ambitious idea. I'll give it that much. The execution was bad, but I don't know. Do you know what Clint Eastwood's full first name is?
Oh, this sounds like a shitty Twitter joke.
It's Clinton. It's Clinton Eastwood Jr. So there's a Clint Eastwood Sr.
Scott Eastwood's his name. Did not realize, by the way? Do you remember in Gran Torino, like when he ambushes the guys that are hitting on that girl, and there's like her white boyfriend that's like a bitch, and he's like, shut up, and like makes him run away? That's Scott Eastwood. I didn't realize it until I rewatched the clip the other day.
Gran Torino's kind of a fucked up movie, dude.
It was.
What recent movie did Clint Eastwood direct? You know?
I Feel Pretty.
Part one, Ken Jack hates the main character. Part two, he employed you cockeyed fuck as a bartender.
Yeah, movie. That's right. Sully. I totally forgot.
He directed Sully?
Yeah, he directed Sully. Yeah. He did one thing in Sully that will forever piss me off. Is that he took the time to look at attention and detail on everything with that movie. Cell phones, clothing, everything was like set back in the early 2000s or late 2000s. And for some reason, he didn't like computer generate out all the new buildings in New York City. Like it was still like the World Trade Center being built. It was still like condo. Like it was weird to me. It was like, such attention to detail in one thing and then just like, fuck it. Let's keep the skyline. I don't have time for that shit.
Do you remember when Spider-Man first came out or the trailer for the original Spider-Man
and it had the
original World Trade Center buildings in it? And I think they had to cut that from the trailer, maybe cut that from the movie.
They were told, it was like a spider web in between the World Trade Center. They were told, I believe this might be wrong. They were told by the Academy they could not be put up for an Academy Award if they kept that trailer running.
Spider-Man?
I think they should have left it in, man.
What award would Spider-Man have won?
Spider-Man was critically acclaimed.
Sound editing, right? Like all those movies.
I mean, it was also very critically acclaimed, that Spider-Man movie.
Jesus Christ. I knew it made a ton of money. It was like the fourth highest grossing movie of 2001 or whatever, but I didn't think it was actually... Other than like the what do you call it? The big categories. I figured maybe sound editing, like it's troll same, whatever, but didn't think anything else.
Yeah, I mean, people fucking love that movie. I don't love Spider-Man 2 as much as others. Yeah, 90% Rotten Tomatoes critics rating, 67% audience. I think Homecoming's better.
67% audience on Spider-Man 1?
Yeah.
Look, Spider-Man 2 alone, I think, deserves higher than that just because of the train scene. And I don't care what anyone says. It's heartwarming when they say, like, we're not going to tell anyone Spider-Man. That's a good scene.
Isn't that Crabbe or Goyle saying that to him, too, from Harry Potter? That
guy could have just been a small child.
One of them got arrested. Crabbe got arrested.
Yeah, he's like a fucking, like, coke dealer.
I am so high, I can hear ever.
Was that from the trailer?
It's from the movie, dude. It's from the soundtrack.
I'll tell you what I don't remember, and that is the soundtrack from that movie. Other than whatever Chad song was playing during Spider-Man 3 in the dance sequence.
Oh. Chad Kroeger from Nickelback. He looks kind of like Dax Shepard, the Nickelback lead singer.
Yeah.
I'm sure this observation.
Exactly. I know we've talked about this because, Trill, you corrected me when I said.
Time is a flat circle.
I said that it was Nickelback, and you're like, it is not.
Well, I got it wrong because I said Josie Scott was from Fuel, I think, and I think he's from a different band. So,
Spider-Man 2 has 93%, 81 audience.
What? That's so much higher than Spider-Man 1. Spider-Man 1 is definitely a better movie.
I don't know what to say.
That's wild.
Amazing Spider-Man has 97% audience score.
Wait. What?
No, I'm just fucking
get the fuck out of here. God damn you.
You were just so perplexed by those first two, I figured I could reel you in for one more.
You did.
Actually, it's 77%.
Jesus,
it's higher than the original Spider-Man.
That's so stupid. That was such a fucking god-awful movie.
Andrew Garfield was so bad as Peter Parker. So bad.
And that's the thing. Like, he's a great actor, but like he was just so out of place in that role. And there's big Spider-Man for him. Giant ass hair like John Raffio Spider-Man.
The Andrew Garfield jokes in BoJack Horseman are pretty great.
That's true.
He's like being interviewed and he talks about hating Mondays and loving lasagna or something like
that. I need to watch BoJack more, but the first season made me so depressed. I just like I like shows that make me happy and it just makes me so sad.
It's a good show. Depressing. But it's like it's kind of like Rick and Morty for smart people or
Rick and Morty is Rick and Morty for smart people. Okay.
No, that was wrong. I like both shows. But BoJack Horseman is like a very intellectually accepted show because it is. I mean, it has those themes, but people talk about it all the time and reference it all the time. So I draw parallels there.
You ever make a demand for Szechuan sauce?
Actually, I just referenced BoJack Horseman. So
you did.
I'm the one playing myself here.
You're now part of academia. Congratulations. Here's your diploma.
I want my Szechuan sauce.
That fucking kid, the kid actually at McDonald's, that was so goddamn funny.
And he puts the shirt over his head like Cornelio from Beavis and Butthead. Yeah. And he goes, I'm Pickle Rick.
Starts squirming on the fucking ground of McDonald's. Like, I don't even know what I would do. Goddamn.
I saw somebody with a Pickle Rick bumper sticker.
Oh, yuck. Mm. I don't get bumper stickers in general. I'm just going to say that outright. I just don't understand bumper stickers. And I've never had one in any of the cars I've owned, which are apparently multiple the way I just phrased them, which not. But I just never put them on because I'm like, well, I feel like it diminishes the value of your car. It doesn't matter how cool the bumper sticker is, which, spoiler alert, they're never cool.
I don't have any stickers on my car, but I can appreciate a nice, tasteful college logo on the glass. I think glass stickers are cooler than bumper stickers.
I think every suburban like white mom needs to do that. They have like this like instinctual need to put the glass sticker of where their kids go to college on the back of the car.
It's like house divided between Washington State University and University of Florida. Some sort of, it's like what?
I think the only ones I like. Do you ever see like the memes of the kid peeing on stuff? Like whatever.
Calvin?
Oh, yeah.
Calvin?
Like the memes of him.
Kid?
Yeah, whatever, dude. I don't know the reference. Okay. But him peeing on stuff, like the memes of him pissing on other stuff is really funny.
That's funny to me because Jim Watterson created Calvin and Hobbes, and he was very famous because he was the anti-Jim Davis. He refused to license anything. There was never any Calvin and Hobbes merchandise outside of the actual books. The comics came in. You go into what are the bookstores in the mall called? I forget what they're called. Like Walden Books. Yeah, you go into Walden Books and read those things. Yeah, you go into Walden Books and read those while your mom was at Coldwater Creek or whatever. And he didn't license anything, but Calvin's lasting merchandise like legacy on this world was unauthorized bumper stickers of him pissing on a Chevrolet bow tie. That's wild, man. Anyway,
I'm trying to find more of them. I can't find them.
Jeff's going to fucking murder us.
Yeah, we do have to move on.
Yeah.
Just because we are mostly because we have to get to at least one ad read. One last thing, though, quickly. First look at Brendan Fraser as DC's Robot Man from Doom Patrol. That's not movies, but it is Brendan Fraser. We have to talk about it. Mostly you, Trill. What do you think about Brendan Fraser as Robot Man?
Wait, but you have to clarify. That's not actually him, though. That's a body double. He does the voice.
Ah, fuck that. That's actually him. Just for the sake of this episode, that's actually him.
Our dude, I'm more impressed by the hat he was wearing up on this. is it a lectern or a podium? It's a podium, right? Podium goes from the floor. Lectern goes from the desk. Is that the correct usage? He's up. Our boy, B. Frage. Look it up. Look up the difference. There's a difference. Is up on stage, dripping sauce, just dripping swag, wearing a reduced version of his Stanley Mountie hat or whatever it is.
Yes.
Like a smaller version of that and a leather motorcycle jacket. And he looks like a fucking badass.
He does.
And I'm happy. I'm happy he's working.
You know what I just noticed is that his jacket...
Go ahead.
His jacket matches his shoots. I just noticed.
Yeah.
Got boots. Got it, man. Got it.
That's baller. He kind of looks like fights, like that hat he always wears.
It is a cool fucking hat. God, he looks awesome.
I'd love to do. Do you think he's going to do a robot voice, or do you think they're going to make his voice sound robotic? Because I'd love for him just to get in the recording studio and be like, I am Robot Man.
He just like fucking JD and Grandma's Boy.
He shows up. Dude, he's so pure. He shows up and probably will try to do a robot voice. And they'll be like, no, B. Frage, we can do that in post. And he's like, no, I'm committed to the craft.
I'm doing this. That's news. Before we get to our interview with Breck and Meyer, we have to note that this episode is brought to you in part by TiVo. Remember TiVo? Guess what?
Yeah.
They're still here and they are fucking fantastic. The Emmy Award winning pioneers in home entertainment. They're back and better than ever. Whether you're a cable or antenna user or just want to stream stuff, TiVo has a solution that's perfect for you. Yeah.
You're basically colleagues with TiVo, right? Because you just said they were Emmy Award winning, and so are you.
Yeah, by association, now you are.
So you're essentially in the same – you're TiVo.
Yeah. I'm their spokesman now.
The TiVo Bolt OTA for antenna, the TiVo Bolt Vox for cable – get one of those, complete your home TV experience, live TV, DVR, and streaming device all in one. You can access everything you love on any screen you like, recording too. Better than those other ones, those sticks or fruit-based TV things. I won't name the company, the very rich company. You can record your TV on this too and have the streaming stuff. You can skip over entire commercial breaks with a skip button. I wouldn't do that. I do like commercials. Big commercial and products, man, as you guys know. Watch your shows 30% faster. TiVo's put together a deal just for you, our audience. 20% off any TiVo Bolt OTA or TiVo Bolt Vox. Just head to TiVo.com/lights20. And remember, promo code lights20. That's TiVo.com/lights20 with promo code lights20 for 20% off. TiVo.
Robot Man. Robot Man's actually what they call Mr. Robot in England.
And Brendan Fraser's such a method actor. He's like purposely failing verification tests on websites.
Pick out the stop signs. I cannot discern.
Nothing worse than when you have to pick them out and then it makes you pick out fucking six more in three different slides. You're like,
And you're looking in the background of the photo just to make sure there's not a fucking stop sign there.
Exactly. You're like scanning them.
Pick out all the bodega storefronts, but it'll be like, oh, is that a fucking bodega? Or is that a, like, what's going on here? It's
pick out all the photos of this exact shade of mauve.
All right. We interviewed Breckin Meyer. Breckin Meyer, you know him as John Arbuckle from Garfield. You also know him from many other things, and from Robot Chicken to Road Trip to Rat Race. We have some big Rat Race fans of this podcast. We actually didn't get to talk to him about Rat Race. We got rushed out of the interview, but we had a really fun time talking to him. Here's our interview with Breckin Meyer.
All right, little interview time. We're here with a special guest. You know him from geez, many different things, whether it be Road Trip, his current show, Super Mansion. I mean, Garfield. We got to talk John Arbuckle. It's John Arbuckle.
Sure.
It's a big moment for us. Breckenmeyer, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man.
We want to talk about your current show.
Okay, whatever you want.
Awesome. Awesome, hilarious show on Sony Crackle, which we got to talk about streaming platforms in a second.
Yes.
We got to talk about that. Super Mansion, huge cast, animated, stop motion, Bryan Cranston, Keegan-Michael Key, Jillian Bell, Chris Pine. I mean, how awesome for
it's a crazy cast
like that.
Yeah, it's pretty great. And Minnie Driver joined this year.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. It's real. I mean, it started with Robot. Like, when we started doing Robot Chicken, you know, when we first started, Sethi and I would have to do all the voices because we had no contacts and we had no money or whatever. And slowly, the show picked up. Now we're in our 10th season. So, you know, the first season, it was like, if we want Scarlett Johansson, it was either Seth or I doing the voice. And now it's like, we can call Scarlett. She'll come do it, you know. And same with Super Mansion is in success. Slowly, we've gotten these. I mean, Bryan was in from the beginning, but you get Keegan-Michael Key and Jillian Bell. And, I mean, these people are just ninjas at comedy.
Well, and you also, for the Star Wars ones, you guys had Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher.
We had Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher. Our favorite thing is that at one point we, because even though if someone's doing a favor, you still have to go through the official channels. Yeah. There was a moment where we had to officially offer the role of Han Solo to Harrison Ford, which he very quickly passed on. For the Star Wars ones, I mean, that was amazing because we got to meet George. I mean, we got to hang with George and, like, go up to the ranch and stuff like that.
I mean, they're
incredible. Crazy.
They still hold up.
I love those. Those are our favorites.
How long does it take when you're recording a voice role to get through an entire season of shooting? Because you're, we'd like to say, a prolific voice actor.
Yeah, the shooting, I mean, the thing, it takes forever. Like, the stop motion takes forever. Robot pretty much takes a year. It takes 11 months from script to screen. Hmm. And Super Mansion, I think, is pretty similar, where it is a tedious medium. But luckily, I just write into the voices, so I don't have to go down. I don't have to take a picture, move an arm, take another picture, move an arm. Do that. But our animators are amazing. I mean, we got these animators who keep winning Emmys because of how good they are.
Well, it's such a unique look.
Yeah.
No one
really does it. You know, no one, I mean, we do, but other than us.
So, you know, I mean, God, you've been on cable TV, Designated Survivor, network TV.
Yeah.
You also, this is a streaming platform. So what do you, I mean, do you have a favorite medium? Are you scared for TV at all? Like, how do you feel about streaming stuff?
No, I'm okay. I mean, as far as a viewer, I'm totally down with it. As a business person, I don't know. I guess there's pluses and minuses about all of it. But like with Super Mansion, this is the first time we've ever dropped a bunch of episodes. Like, we're dropping, I think six of them dropped today, which I think is great. As a viewer, I know, like, we were talking earlier about that show Big Mouth, which is one of my favorite shows.
So good.
And I love that they drop them and I can watch them. I like the idea that I can watch seven of them in one day if I want, or all of them. As far as mediums I like doing, I mean, I have so much fun on Robot because it's basically, I mean, you guys know, it's like working with my best friend. So, and same with Super Mansion, it's the same guys. So that's a great time. I'm doing a show now for ABC that we just started called The Fix, which Marcia Clark wrote, co-wrote, and is co-producing. It's a drama. But even that, Robin Tunney, who was in The Craft with me, is the lead, and I play her boss. Even that is just super fun. Like, I have so much fun not being me. You know what I mean? Like, my job is that I don't have to be me. So it's pretty fun.
Well,
whether that's voiceover or on camera.
Yeah. Well, you were on camera and you weren't you for John Arbuckle, who we are big stands of John Arbuckle. We hate Garfield. We think Garfield is mean to him.
He is mean to him.
I mean,
he's the worst pet.
Thank you.
He's the worst pet.
Thank you. He's a jerk. Yeah, I mean,
he only likes John when he has to
for food and shelter.
By the way, if John didn't offer him lasagna, like, he'd probably just eat him in his sleep, like, and just be done with him. You know?
Yeah, we always talk about Garfield. Just his life is owning John. So we're anti. Are you on our side? We're anti Garfield. We do not.
I'm
like
pro Garfield only because I did play John. I had to love him. I had to learn to love him.
The character
and it's voiced by Bill Murray.
Well, we are Team John. We're Team John.
I appreciate
Arbuckle,
that.
Big time. How aware are you of Garfield memes on the internet?
Not as well as I should
this
be.
Is okay. This is great for us. This is great for us.
Ken Jackson will show you some.
Yeah, please.
There's a dark corner of the internet that has misappropriated Garfield in a really gross way.
Really?
So I'm going to take you through a quick grouping of seven. So here's the first one. It's just strong Garfield.
It's like Garfield is the Rock.
He's just very, very ripped.
Yeah.
Here's another
one.
It's
Dwayne the Rock Garfield.
It's another strong Garfield. This is, again, bad radio. So it's strong Garfield holding a very dainty John Arbuckle.
Yes. Jesus.
Here is a very womanly figured Garfield in a bikini asking who ordered
who's
lasagna.
Who's taking the time?
Here's one where it's Garfield in really sexy attire saying, fuck your sign, tell me what beloved childhood cartoon character awakened your sexuality.
It wasn't Garfield.
I guess for some people it was.
Jesus. Was it? You think anybody was awakened sexually by Garfield?
There's a lot of these memes, so who knows? Here's another one. So what? I like cutting class, smoking grass, and eating ass. I'm still a Christian. And it's Garfield
dunking.
And
at the bottom
basketball.
It just says Garfield is Christian.
Garfield is Christian. And then just the last one wrapping up, just John 3:16.
That's uncomfortable.
Just Garfield, yeah. A weird looking Garfield costume.
Yeah,
John
I will
3:16.
Say one.
Oh, and that one.
Jesus. Weird. The thing this really shows is nobody knows how to draw Garfield. Yeah. These all just seem like nightmares.
It's a very dark corner of the internet, and these are everywhere.
Yeah, this is really what the dark web is for.
This is,
I think.
Yeah,
is these
sexy
creepy,
Garfield.
Sexy Garfield
yeah,
memes.
Yeah, people think dark web is like drugs. No, it's
no,
Garfield.
It's Garfield memes. Yeah. It's mainly Garfield memes. A little bit of sex and drugs, but mainly it's Garfield.
How much are we allowed to talk about your movie with Seth Green? Your good buddy,
Changeland.
We can
talk about it. Changeland.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, very intriguing cast. Macaulay Culkin sticks out big time.
Macaulay Culkin coming back, better than ever.
How, I mean, so, I guess, I lay it out there.
How do we
when
get
are we
back?
Expecting this
How
movie?
Do we get back?
I mean, I'm very excited to see this.
Yeah, it comes, you know, I don't know when it's coming out. It's in that, because it's an independent film, it's in that world now mm-hmm. where it's like, I think Seth's meeting with distributors. Who's going to be mm-hmm. the best person to distribute this and whatnot? Who knows when it'll be. Coming on video on demand, or does it come to a theater? It's all the gamble you play when you do the independent films. But it's a really fun movie. We went to Thailand last year for 6 weeks, and it was me, Seth, Mac, Brenda Song, Randy Orton from the WWE, who's a terrifyingly sweet and very strong individual. And yeah, we had an absolute blast going down there and goofing off and having fun. But yeah, Mac hasn't done a movie, I think, in like 8 or 10 years. And he's.
Do you talk about Home Alone?
Talk about Home Alone almost exclusively. Home Alone and Michael Jackson. That's all we talk about.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That's
picture.
It. All we talk about.
Yeah, we saw Patrick Stump from Fall Out Boy.
Yeah,
music,
Patrick
right?
does all the music. Patrick
does
did all
really?
The music
that's,
for us,
oh,
which
that's
is
so
great.
Cool.
Yeah, he's been a friend of Robot of the show for a long time. And Sethy and him are pals, and he. Yeah, he did the music for it, which is pretty amazing.
That is so cool. Are you ever afraid you're going to be RKO'd by Randy Orton?
You know, I didn't know wrestling at all. Sethy and Mac are giant wrestling fans. They kept talking about the RKO, so finally I had to Google it, and I did it in Thailand. Uh-huh. And I was like, all right, let me see what this fake wrestling thing, let me see what this move is. And I was like, Jesus Christ. Seth wanted to be, we filmed at one point, not to give any scenes away, but there's a boxing ring. There's a bar in Thailand. A lot of things we did in Thailand, we didn't do for the movie. These we just used them as they were. There's a bar in Thailand that you could go to with your buddies or whatever. Mm-hmm. You pay, you get buckets of booze are a big thing in Thailand, where you just have a bucket of liquor. And you can go to this bar, and there's a Muay Thai ring, and you can get in and fight.
Jesus
you can
Christ.
Fight your buddy, or you can fight a local, whatever you want to do. And so a lot of times you have friends fighting each other, which is interesting because after the first 10 seconds, it immediately kind of devolves into a real fight with friends being like, fuck you, dude, fuck you, you know, and like that. Or you're fighting a local who knows Muay Thai and will kick the crap out of you. And you're paying to get your ass kicked. So we shot in there, and at one point Randy was in there, and Mac wanted Randy to do an RKO to him. And
oh
Randy debated it, but he was like, I'll kill you. Like, you literally turn into just pink dust. It would just be like... It'd be the worst Home Alone violent thing ever.
Randy Orton's legacy becomes killing Macaulay Culkin.
Killing Macaulay Culkin.
Wrestling move. We got time for one last thing. Now, I'll preface it with this. We rate movies on a scale of 0 to 100. We feel dirty doing it because we also hate Rotten Tomatoes, which is also... So, you mean, you've been in so many things, especially...
What's gotten 100, if you don't mind me asking? Or has anything?
ESP,
for me,
least,
Empire
right?
Strikes Back.
Okay.
That's 100 for me.
All right.
Godfather's Toy Story is 100 for me.
Okay.
It's rare.
Highest from last year for me was like a 98 from Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah,
we're big
Blade Runner fans.
Blade Runner 2049, though, got a 98. What did Blade Runner 1 get?
I'm not old enough to rank back.
Probably like
the
mid-80s for Blade Runner.
So, I mean, you've been in so many great like, late 90s, early 2000s thing, whether it be Rat Race, Road Trip. And I feel like if those came out now, I feel like people would be so nitpicky, you know, whether it's on social and Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. What is your stance on Rotten Tomatoes? Like, is it good because it drives people to talk about movies, or bad because it's such an unfair, like right now with like Venom coming out. Like,
right.
Obviously, it has a really bad score in Rotten Tomatoes.
Does it?
Like,
I don't know that.
Obviously, it's good to give people like what the movie might be, but is it bad that drives people away?
I don't. I'm probably the wrong person to ask, only because I grew up. I mean, I started when I was 11 acting, mm-hmm. and I did it because I love movies and I love TV. Like I was watching Tom and Jerry, going, "I want to do that." And so my whole thing is, I've never been into reviews as a moviegoer.
Yeah.
If my friend says, "Dude, I saw it, you'll hate it," I go, oh, "Okay, you know me, I get that." So I don't read reviews, and I love going to the movie. I go to the movies by myself, and to me, it's like, I overuse the word fun, but to me, it's like, if it was fun, I'm good. I don't need every movie to move me and every movie to really teach me a lesson about life and love. So I'm fine with, like, Venom. I'm going to see Venom. Not a huge Venom fan. I didn't read the comics and stuff like that. No way I'm not going to see Venom. Granted, there I have my own opinion when I see the trailer, and I'm like, okay, I hope it's great. Yeah. All right, I hope it's really good, because Hardy's awesome, you know? But I don't really subscribe to the Rotten Tomato thing. I will say this is boring, but I'll bore you because it's my time. There was one time I read a review for an actor. I had done this movie with an actor. I was not in this movie that got reviewed. He was in it. And the interviewer, I think it was Entertainment Weekly or something. The first line in the review of the movie was, "Now I have to tell you ahead of time, I hate this actor."
Oh.
And so I read that and I was like, well, then what the fuck are you reviewing it for? I don't want to, then I already know you're not going to like it. And I don't want your biased opinion on whether it's a good, I just want to know if it's a fun movie or not, or a good movie or not. But the fact that you hate this actor, you kind of should just disqualify yourself from writing a review about it, because you've already said what it is, you know, you're biased. But, so yeah, that's my long-winded way of saying I don't really read reviews. When I've had movies come out, you know, they send them to you if you want them. And early on, I was like, I want to read it. I want to read all the reviews. I want to know everything. And the first review that I got like name checked, where I was like, oh shit, look at me, was Road Trip. And I mean, I got some mentions, I think, in Clueless and stuff, but Road Trip was like, I was, you know, kind of the lead. It was like the first time I was like the lead guy, and even though it was an ensemble. And we got this great review of the movie, and they said it was funny, and they said this, and they said that. They were complimentary towards me, and it said, Breckenmeyer plays Josh. And then in parentheses, it just said, "A trash compacted Bill Maher."
Oh my God. And
by the way, the worst part is it was a rave review. Like, it was a good review. And I was like, how can you? And it was like, it was that thing of like, they take with one hand and, you know, give with the other, where it was like, they gave this great review, but smacked me across my emotional face by saying I was a trash compacted Bill Maher. And I've never gotten over it as I'm mentioning it now, 25 years later.
Oh my God.
But those type of things in reviews always drive me nuts, where like they you know, just pick on someone, or either they don't like the actor or whatever. It's just also that thing of snarky sells.
Yeah.
So if you're bitchier about a movie, then someone just goes, "Loved it."
Yeah.
People are going to read the bitchy one.
Yep.
You know? Yeah. Which is too bad, but so be it. It's the life we live.
Well, it's great insight. We also like going to the movies by ourselves as well, by the way.
Big fan.
Big fan.
Big fan of that.
It's great.
And what's your snack of choice?
I'm a popcorn guy.
Just popcorn?
I'll soda, throw some, water. Like, do you mix popcorn in?
No.
Ooh.
And I'm against the people that pour the M&Ms in the popcorn.
Right, I don't do that. Then, never mind.
Do you do that?
Yeah, I do that.
So what do you pour in?
Typically snow caps or M&Ms.
Snow caps. Yeah. That's the white covered chocolate.
Don't do
dots?
It if the popcorn's too hot. It will melt everywhere.
It will melt it, and then you get that all over your hands. And
I have a movie theater jacket that has melted.
So either snow caps or M&Ms.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's the sweet and salty thing, right?
Yeah, think about it.
But if you pour it in, doesn't it just fucking go right to the bottom?
Oh, for sure.
So it's just really popcorn with a M&M bottom.
Yeah, you'll get to the M&Ms eventually.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
It's like a parfait.
Before I let you go, let everyone know, Super Mansion, where to check it out.
On Crackle, Sony Crackle. And the weird thing about Crackle, which I keep explaining to my mom, you already have it, essentially. It's already. My mom was like, "I don't have it." I'm like, "I bought your TV. I know you have it. It's a Samsung." It's basically, it's like Netflix. You already probably have it on your TV, and if you don't, go to crackle.com and watch all 6 episodes and let me know what you think about it. Or don't. I don't care.
Don't call him a trash-compacted Bill Maher.
Don't call me a trash-compacted Bill Maher. I already know. call him a stretched-out Breckenmeyer.
Well, thanks for coming in. I'm going to go watch Rat Race now.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right. Thank you to Breckenmeyer. He was a fun time. Cool guy. We had a good time talking to him. John Arbuckle. We really tried to get him to say fuck Garfield. We really wanted him to hate on Garfield. He wouldn't do it. He would not hate. But he did agree that Garfield's an asshole.
Garfield's
a real piece of shit.
It's pretty universal. He's mean to everybody. He doesn't deserve John Arbuckle.
He's a shit cat.
It's shit. Ooh, cat.
There's a video we need to post on Monday of Garfield. I'm gonna send it to you in the chat, but that just reminded me.
All right. So thanks again to Breck and Meyer. That was fun. I think we have another interview coming up in a few weeks. It's part of why we got all messed up this weekend. Remember, we're reviewing Venom on Thursday, then A Star Is Born on Sunday. We're actually seeing First Man on Thursday night. That's wild. Think about that for a second. We've been talking about that movie for a long fucking time, and we're finally going to see First Man. That's just, it's crazy that it's already here. Also, Battle at the Old Royale, or whatever that movie's called.
Bad Times at the El Royale.
That looks so good.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yep. Excited for that big weekend for movies. Probably going to see A Beautiful Boy this weekend too.
I heard that's not good.
Yeah, I know. They're actually doing, Timothy Chalamet and Steve Carell are doing a Q&A at the theater that we're going to be at watching First Man on Thursday night while we're watching First Man.
Oh, damn. That when you can't go to see Steve Carell, fucking Michael Office Man. No.
100,000 retweets.
This scene 72 likes. VR is so funny. Timeless. 200,000 retweets.
Yeah, but see, he's not supposed to be saying the Chris Rock joke.
Fucking 500,000 retweets. You just don't get the nuances of The Office, dude. It's like so next level.
Oh my god.
Drop the chili.gif.
Before we get into like two or three audience questions, we do have to have one more ad read here. This episode brought to you in part by Sunday Scaries. You ever get that creeping feeling of dread and anxiety as Sunday comes to a close? Not as much today. Our team's kind of won. One of them didn't lose. You face the coming down of the work week. That's called the Sunday Scaries. And this company created these gummies. Oh, it's a CBD brand gummy shaped like gummy bears. CBD is pretty hot right now, derived from hemp and delivers many of the benefits you get from THC without the high that would probably get you in trouble at work. So you can pop these at work. Convenient, delicious way to get your daily dose of CBD and help you come down from all that anxiety, at the Monday blues, the Sunday scaries, whatever you want to call them. Your FanDuel team lost today. I don't know. Whatever it is, Sunday scaries is the way to go. We have them at work. We eat them. They're just gummy bears.
Love those gummies.
Yeah. I just want to be very clear. I did not use Sunday scaries.
It's legal in your state, dude. That's the best thing about them.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's Hoboken, baby.
Our listeners can get 10% off their entire order by using promo code LIGHTS. That's LIGHTS at checkout. Go to sundayscaries.com and enter promo code LIGHTS at checkout to get your discount. Get ready to relax, like the Aaron Rodgers tweet. Remember that?
Hell yeah. That guy. Hell yeah. Hmm.
Wow, my Siri just went off and it caught me saying, playscary.com and enter promo code LIGHTS to checkout to get your discount. Get ready to relax. The Aaron Rodgers tweet of that.
Lights at checkout to get your discount. Get ready to relax the Aaron Rodgers in your music.
Damn.
Thanks, Siri. What a great function. Hey, Siri, cool.
Play Same Love.
Songs is only available to Spotify.
It keeps unlinking my Spotify account. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, all right?
Play Same Love by Macklemore.
Oh, hey, Google. Stop. Wait, is it playing?
I think so. It starts out this slow?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Oh,
here,
man.
We go.
This is horrible.
Here we go, ready? Have the characteristics, the right way to service, think it's a decision. You can be cured with some treatment and religion.
Okay, button.
Let's all play at the same fucking time.
Okay, button. Voice over up.
He's like, Ben, you've loved girls since before pre-K. Sure.
We've officially fucking lost it.
What? Oh, wear your grandma's clothes.
Alert. Important.
Oh God.
I'm trying to change my. I'm trying.
Okay. Button.
Ordering settings. Light potato from Wendy's.
Accessibility. Back up.
I was trying to get Siri to read.
Voice over. On.
I was trying to get Siri to. Oh no.
8:32 p.m.
This is funnier than anything we've ever said on this podcast already.
Oh my God.
8:32 p.m.
Damn it.
8:33 p.m. Sunday, October 7th.
All right. We have time for one question. If you could send a message out to every person's phone, what would it say? One message to every person. What would you say?
Cheryl, you go first.
It'd probably be a Venmo account, because I'm sure some people would just send money to it.
Ooh.
That's pretty fucking
smart. I like that, actually. I'm still thinking.
It'd be kind of funny to send out a message with the phone number of somebody you don't like, so everyone calls and texts it, just blows them up, like a little like a revenge move. Venmo is probably the best one, though. Venmo is probably the most beneficial without risking like something happening to you, I guess, negative. Like, I feel like that's pretty, for the most part, safe.
Maybe just something that's like nonsensical that people would try to understand, like goop on your Grinch or something. Goop on you, Grinch.
Just send out coochie question mark.
Just something that people would like really struggle to figure out what they were supposed to mean. Kofifi. Oh, what a time that was.
Oh yeah. It'd probably be the Venmo thing. I don't know. Like, it's a hard question. Cause you want to do something that would prank people, but you don't want to do something that would incite any sort of mass panic. I don't want that on my conscience.
Yeah, that's fair. Why are you always being such a good guy, Trill?
I don't know about that. But I don't want this responsibility. Jamie, send the message.
All right. We do have to go. Getting long here. Big episode on Thursday. I almost said Venmo, the Marvel movie.
Venmo and Venom. Bio.
Make sure to see Venom. Ken, Jack, and I are going to put our reviews up once we see A Star Is Born on Tuesday morning on BarstoolSports.com. James, Mr. Sunday Movies will be on our Thursday episode. Make sure to subscribe to The Weekly Planet. Listen to theirs. They'll be funny, I'm sure.
You should send him some Sunday Scaries over the mail.
Should.
Because he's Sunday Movies. And
all the way to Australia?
Yeah.
What are our ad reads when he's...
I know what they are. I got something cooking for him.
It's a jeans company and then some sort of like...
I don't think we can legally ship the second one to Australia.
No, you cannot ship jeans.
It's like a brain thing. It really, gets your brain. Yeah, you can't.
Didn't Ken Jack already do a fake commercial that was kind of like a brain thing?
No, I did an ad for Sunday Scaries that I guess is relatively similar.
I was thinking about you.
There's a line in the suggested copy for our ad read, which we typically don't read the suggested copy. It's a do your legs a favor for our jeans ad read on Thursday, but I assume we'll have a skit.
Is this like a fucking exoskeleton?
Don't forget to listen to the Slap commentary. There might be a surprise tomorrow morning on our Reddit. I won't say what. That may help you listen and watch the Slap with myself, Ken, Jack, and PFD commentary. We'll probably record episode 2 this week. I'm sure we'll find time. It's like 40 minutes. It doesn't take that long. Other than that, see Venom, see A Star Is Born. Anything else?
Yeah. I wonder if I can trigger the audience right now by eating some almonds on the airways.
Oh yeah. They didn't like that.
They did not like that. We addressed that though, right? We talked about it a lot.
Can you guys tell that I'm eating food?
Yes. Just a little bit.
You always have some sort of almonds on deck.
Check that out.
Ready to go. Are you a clean eater, Kenjack?
Fucking look at me and tell me you think I'm a clean eater, dude.
Dude, the snacks in the office. The snacks in the office are fucking they're atrocious. It's offensive that they think that we have the ability to not eat them. It'll be like some days it'll be like giant bags of chips, like full fucking family sized bags of chips, Pop Tarts,
baked potatoes,
Snickers bars. Yeah, just
you know, typical light food items.
And then there'll be like Pirate's Booty or like 100 calorie pretzels. But for the most part, it's stuff that will ruin your day.
The one thing I love to eat from at the office is they always have Quest bars, and I'll eat two of them and then just shit my pants. And this exact scenario has happened multiple times, and I refuse to learn my lesson.
Do Quest bars make you shit?
Yeah, dude. Whatever the sugar substitute, I forget what the chemical is called, but like it's like a huge shit maker. Makes you shit.
And not like
the good type of shit where it's just like a solid log. Like you fucking like it's like a shotgun blast out of your butthole. like the second you sit down, just boom, like one big slug and a bunch of BBs.
You know what my least favorite thing is? We've talked about it off pod. It's like eating fucking like a discus disc from track and field, or those cookies, the Quest cookies.
The Larry's ones.
Yeah, well, the Quest cookies are like that, but the Larry's, you have Larry's cookies. What do they call them?
The protein cookies.
Lenny and Larry's protein cookies, dude. It is like it's like a hubcap or a fucking manhole cover. They're huge, and they weigh like 1,000 pounds.
I love those things mostly because, like, again, I'm addicted to the shit game.
I mean, yeah, 8 grams of fiber. Actually, the most lethal things when it comes to going to the bathroom in our snack trays when they have the Fiber One bars.
Oh, speaking of which, I got a quick story for that. I used to work at GNC, and every now and then, whenever like an item would go out of circulation, they would let us like take whatever we wanted. And we had like these fiber bars. I didn't realize were fiber bars at the time. I thought they were protein bars. And I was just so hungry and didn't want to get lunch. I ate like 5 of them and literally had to go. I had to go home. Like my stomach nearly fucking exploded. I think I got an ulcer.
At Trader Joe's at one point had these flaxseed chips, and flaxseed just fucking runs me out. Just really? Dumps the tap out. Yeah, I ate like a whole bag of that. And you know when you get like that upper gut pain? It's like I'm definitely gonna do a liquid doo-doo.
Yep. Yeah.
It's immediate.
Trader Joe's best product out right now for their fall season is the Pumpkin JoJo's.
So good.
Their pumpkin spice flavored Oreos.
Oh, you ever have God. Their the mint star things that they do at Christmas?
Yes.
Oh, they're so good. I think that between that and the JoJo's and also the star, or I guess shark gummies or fish gummies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So good. They're so good at what they do. I appreciate you, Trader Joe, wherever you are.
Well, TJ's. All right, that's it. Last call. Forever hold your peace.
I'm good. Until Thursday, folks.
I'm going to go worry about the Chargers for 2 hours.
For Ken Jack and Trill Ballins, I'm Jeff Lowe. We will talk to you on Thursday.
And have a good week at the box office. Oh, it's Saturday night. A break for the wicked on the weekend. Mama, can I get another amen? Oh, oh, it's Saturday night. Swear to God, I ain't never gonna repent. Mama, can I get another amen? Oh, 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 it's Saturday night. Wait a minute. Every morning when I wake up, I wanna be who I couldn't say I'd ever been. But it's so much more than I ever was. If every night I go to sleep knowing that I give everything that I had to give, and it's all I could have asked for. I've been standing up beside everything I've ever said, but oh, it's Saturday night. I'm praying for the I
more day to wish. If I had one more day to be better than I could have ever been. If I had one more day.